Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
The Venture X card from Capital One gives you premium travel benefits, perfect for seeing Taylor Swift the Eras Tour, presented by Capital One. Ooh, I do love her. Earn 5x miles on flights and 10x miles on hotels through Capital One Travel.
Enjoy your stay in Suite 13.
Whoa, 13? That's Taylor's lucky number. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's time for the Draft Dudes Podcast.
What's better than this?
Your hosts, the Draft Dudes themselves and co-founders of the Draft Network, Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino.
Guys being dudes
on the Draft Dudes Podcast. And it starts now.
What's better than this? Guys, me and dudes here on the Draft Dudes Podcast. It's Joe Marino and Kyle Krabs. We're your hosts. Chris Schubert's here floating around producing this thing with a lot of lights going on behind him, especially compared to yesterday. We're from the Draft Network. We're brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all your sports betting needs. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends over at Bet Online. They feature live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. They have all the sports, so head on over to betonline.ag to join and receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Just be sure to use our promo code BELEAVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to receive your rewards. It's BetOnline, and it's where the game starts. Gentlemen, happy Valentine's Day to you.
Will you be my Valentine?
Yes.
I choose you. My favorite Valentine's Day pop culture reference was Ralph Wiggins getting that Valentine from Lisa Simpson with the train and it being like the most world rocking experience for him. So happy Ralph Wiggins has a girl who likes him day to you both as well.
I like how you brought this to a pop culture reference because I think the best pop culture Valentine's Day reference is Dwight Schrute from The Office, but who? Kyle, as a non-Office enthusiast, I don't know if you'd appreciate the reference.
You're right. I wouldn't.
Well, but I think everybody that does like The Office knows exactly what I just referenced, and I hope that you had your
There's probably a similar reference in every other episode of The Office, considering that it's the same exact stupid humor in every episode that was ever created of the show, but we won't get into that because I know I'm already...
Do you want the quote, Kyle? Or are you going to have to pretend that you...
Say the line, Bart. No.
Does that mean yes?
No. I'm not going to say the line. I already know I'm going to get flamed on Twitter by listeners of the show. Yeah. Every time it comes out that I don't like The Office, it's like...
I try to put it out there as often
as I can. It's like the world-ending experience, and that's fine. And like, I'm over it. Yeah. I've accepted that's who I am. Yeah. Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 34 in a couple months.
Oh. You're not 34.
Not yet.
Wait, no,
not yet,
dude. You're still in your Jesus year. Yeah.
I got 2 months.
Almost
literally, to the day.
Exactly.
To the day.
Yeah. Christopher P. Schubert, happy Valentine's Day. What do we need to know?
Happy Valentine's Day, gentlemen. Hope you are having a great start to your Tuesday. A fun show. This is a Joseph J. Marino special here. He messaged us this morning,
you know that's
and he said, hey, it's Valentine's Day themed. What if we did a Valentine's themed show and discussed ideas we love for the off season? And we each are going to have, I guess, five or so. I have five written down here.
Yeah, I do too.
Took me a while to get the fifth, but I really like the fifth one that I put down. And so we're going to share those and we'll just discuss. Maybe some of these are galaxy brand ideas. Maybe some of these are just more conventional ideas. But
so this is technically baby big boards.
Kinda, yeah.
It is a cool. Valentine's Day baby big board on a Tuesday. Normally, we do on a Thursday edition of Draft Dudes. Yes.
So the order here matters, huh?
I believe it does. I did mine in order.
Okay. I just made one little switch, and I have
mine. Inconsequential in order in which they are discussed.
You love them all equally. Yes, it's like if you have five kids, you love them all the same. You know,
that's not true.
Yeah,
I've got
three pets and one child. And on the days in which the daughter is rotten, she's not number one on the pecking order. So
yeah, see,
it's the least problematic. Other living being in my house is my favorite on any given day.
In 15 years, she's going to go back and listen to this episode and be heartbroken.
No, because she loves the cats more than she loves me. So it's not going to be no surprise.
Oh. Okay. All right. All right. So I'm ready. I got stuff to talk about. Okay. I wonder if there'll probably be some overlap here, but should be fun.
I don't think so, but it's your idea. Go ahead.
Start us off.
You go first.
Should I start with five, though? I kind of want to get my favorite ideas out first.
Do you really think we're going to have overlap? I would be shocked if we have overlap.
I think we'll have some. At least one or two total across all three of us.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going top down. My favorite ideas. Well,
he wants to get it out there.
He wants to share his number one idea. We could do this. Okay.
Yeah. Especially because it leads to a little heartbreak for one of my strong internet friends, Chris Schubert.
Excuse me?
Reference to yesterday. The number one idea that I love for this offseason is the Carolina Panthers signing Derek Carr. I think this is exactly the direction they should go at quarterback. They've tried some Band-Aid solutions. They've not participated in the draft. And for as much fun as everyone had with Steve Wilks going on a little run there to maybe win that division, well, that put them out of striking distance for the quarterbacks and put them in a position where they have to really give up some significant assets to be in the strike zone to get a quarterback. And you're kind of playing this risky game because while we talk about there being four first-round quarterbacks, that doesn't mean every team's going to like all four of them. They might only like one or two. And so I think the Panthers are in a tough spot picking number nine with the Colts, the Texans, the Raiders, the other team that's Seattle, all of those teams picking in front of them. And I wouldn't want to participate in that rat race to get in positions to get a quarterback. Just go get Derek Carr. You're assembling an all-star coaching staff. And then what that allows you to do is it changes the entire draft for Carolina, where we've talked about trading up. No, you don't have to do that anymore. You can sit there at number nine and make a pick if you like somebody there. You can also think about moving back and putting yourself in position to maybe add a receiver, to maybe add a defensive lineman. I like what that would do for the dynamics of the Carolina Panthers moving forward in an NFC that, let's be honest, feels like it's really wide open. I think Derek Carr, a meaningful pick at nine, some other assets this offseason. I think Carolina Panthers could be a playoff team next year.
Well done, Joe. Panthers with Derek Carr is the four seed in next year's playoffs, right?
Oh, gosh. Probably, yeah. And you play defense, keeping them out of the Saints, too? Mm-hmm. And the Bucs? Like, why wouldn't the Bucs be interested there? Why wouldn't the Falcons have a level of interest there? Go get your guy. I think he's a perfect fit for the Charlotte community, for Frank Reich, and how I think that marriage would go. I think it'd be perfect.
I dig it. Should I go next, or Chris, do you want to go?
It's up to you. I'll go next if you'd like.
It's up to you. Internet friend.
I'll go next because mine's very similar to Joseph's. My number one thing is that there's going to be a team that's going to sign Derek Carr but replace the Carolina Panthers with the New York Jets. Of course, this is my number one option for my list. This is the guy that I've circled on the short list for them to sign all offseason.
You like that?
I do. Kirk, I do. Yeah, I actually do like that. I like that more than I like your quarterback play, Derek Carr, to be the New York Jets. Because all the things Joe said about Kirk or about Derek with Carolina, I think apply to the Jets. They're a team that's not in the mix to draft a quarterback. They've been there, done that. They haven't really had a good track record of developing a quarterback. They have a coaching infrastructure that is on the hot seat that's going to have to win. You have to bring in an established veteran presence who's been there, done that, knows how to put up production. Derek Carr does that. He costs you just dollars. You're able to keep all of your draft picks, which is a better than the alternative of trading for an Aaron Rodgers or a Lamar Jackson or any of the other players. He's better than the other free agency options like a Jimmy Garoppolo. He's better than acquiring a Ryan Tannehill. He is the best of all of the worlds put together for the New York Jets in terms of dollars, not trading draft capital, and being a veteran presence. So the Jets signing Derek Carr, number one for me on the list.
I wasn't going to do this one first, but since it's right now a Derek Carr segment.
It's Derek Carr hour?
Yeah,
it's
I don't Carr have hour. A Derek Carr take, but I do have a veteran quarterback take. And one of the five things that I would love to see this offseason is for Aaron Rodgers to come back from his vision quest.
It's a darkness retreat.
Darkness retreat.
Day two. Day two of four.
Whatever
today.
You want to call it. Solitary confinement, okay. Etc.
Chris said, it's day two of four today.
Day two
he's
of four.
On, he's
day
on Roger's watch.
It's 4 day. Well, because he's going to come out of the darkness retreat and he might be wearing like Jets green and that could tell us right. Where he wants to play next season. So it's very important.
He's.
It's the Simpsons meme where Homer recedes into the bush and then he comes back out. Like, Aaron is receding into the bush. We'll make a second Simpsons reference here on the show as a Packer, and he's going to come out with whatever his new team is. So, of course, I'm paying attention to the darkness retreat.
How about if he comes out of the bush with a gold jacket and retires?
Oh, would love that.
Would love for Aaron Rodgers. Everybody said, oh, Aaron doesn't want to share a retirement class with Tom Brady. What if he decides the most selfish thing I can do is to make sure that I get inducted in the greatest Hall of Fame class in the history of the league, me and Tom together? Right now, the best 1-2 punch of quarterbacks to get inducted in the same class is what? Dan Marino and Steve Young in the same class together?
That's pretty freaking good.
I was
good.
There. I'll be there. If Aaron retires, I'll be there for that one, too. With him and Tom. I'll be there this fall for Zach Thomas and Darrell Revis with my internet friend Chris Schubert.
Like in 3 months. It's in the summertime.
It's August, Chris.
It's not fall.
It's closer
I'll tell
to
you
fall
that
than it is summer. It's closer to fall than it is 3 months from now. It's February 14th. Draft dudes do math. They make me click the button.
Draft dudes do math.
Aaron Rodgers retiring is the chaos curveball that this NFL offseason needs. And I don't know, like, can he still play? Yes, but so Tom could still play too. I'd be really interested if Aaron, he got the bag, he secured the bag, he fleeced the Packers, they went through a disaster season this year, they made the run, they missed the playoffs. What if Aaron decides, I want to be a part of the greatest Hall of Fame class of all time. I'm going to retire alongside Tom and go in with Tom. That's what I'm pulling for. I don't think it happens.
All right.
But I would love it if it did.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree, but it's a fun idea. I thought about putting on mine, Tom Brady staying retired.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Joe. Yeah, I like that. So, I like that a lot.
So consider that my honorable mention. At number two for me, I hate that I have such a broad statement, but it just kind of works. It's called the Lions. I love the opportunity ahead of them. Listen, I'll get more specific because I'm going to have a big draft angle.
Excuse me?
With this. Yeah, the Detroit
ideas,
Lions.
Ideas we love for the offseason. The Lions.
Lions.
Hold on. Let me get specific, okay?
Okay. Our Lions, I love so the I'm here.
Yes, I love what they can do in the draft. And I know that whenever we mock Bijan Robinson to a team in the first round, we get yelled at by that fan base. It's part
Imagine.
Of the deal, right? You understand how that goes. But the Lions, come on now. This is a really
and
exciting
now,
idea.
I think that's that my guy on the Draft Dudes podcast.
I think they can really lean into the type of football team that they want to be, but you've got a very exciting receiver core with Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jamison Williams. And you can pick your poison as a defense. You want to play coverage? Okay, light boxes for Bijan, you're screwed. Okay, you want to play light boxes or you want to play heavy boxes to deal with Bijan and all that he's going to present? All right, well, we got receivers that can really make you pay and a good offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson. So I love that idea for them at six. And then what that allows them to do. I don't know if they're picking six. Oh, then I have it written down somewhere. Give
they
me
are picking
yeah, six.
Yes.
Then they have 18, 49, 56, and 82. When I think about the Lions' needs and how they would marry up with those picks, I get super excited. At 18, if they want to go tight end, they can get a guy. They can get Luke Musgrave. They can get potentially Michael Mayer or Darnell Washington or a Dalton Kincaid. Then I think about 49, 56, and 82. How about linebacker and corner, where I think you're going to get into some really appropriate ranges to get value, especially at corner, and then even linebacker. Like, there's good linebackers in this class. There's just not a great have to have them in the first round guys. I think you can get a starter on day two. And I think the way that this matches up for Detroit with their needs and how they can attack this draft and really build their football team up, given the dynamics that currently exist, my goodness, are they in an exciting spot. So I love this Bijan tight end corner linebacker idea for the Lions in the draft based on how things are kind of shaping up right now.
Joe, if Bijan Robinson gets drafted by the Lions, how high would you pick him for your fantasy football team?
No one cares about your fantasy team.
Wait, who pushed the button? Was it Chris or Kyle?
No, it's Kyle. He set up his own.
Kyle put that on a team for himself.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
Well, in reach, like in full redrafts, I'd probably stay away from a rookie. I don't know. Maybe that's stupid of me, but in Dynasty, he's the number one pick.
Overall, the quarterback.
Speaking of the number...
Go ahead, Chris.
Speaking of the number one pick, my idea is to for something to occur that if it doesn't happen this year, it will be 7 years since it happened. And you want chaos? It's what we do best. We love chaos season over here at the Draft Network. The chaos, the galaxy brain, all of the uncertainty that comes with this. How about the Chicago Bears do something that hasn't been done since the 2016 NFL draft? And that is trade the number one overall pick. It makes sense for everybody. Makes sense for us because we like chaos. It makes sense for the Bears. They're not in the quarterback market. Set yourself up for future success. Get the King's ransom. Get the hall of draft selections. Give yourself maximum flexibility in 2023 and beyond with draft capital. And throw a wrench in the NFL draft while you're at it. Give us some chaos. So the Bears trading the number one overall pick, number two for me on ideas we love for the offseason.
Nice one, Chris. I like that one.
Thank you.
My next one is paying the, and I'm going to use air quotes here, other Cincinnati safety overpaying Jesse Bates. Von Bell.
Whoa.
So this is the game that we like to play where it's player X at cost Y versus player Z at cost A. Well, I fudged up the letters there. But would, Joe, let me ask you a question. Would you rather pay Jesse Bates at $15 million a season or would you rather pay Von Bell at $8 million a season? And I understand some of that is, oh, well, it depends on what I want him to do. But regardless, this is a too high safety league right now.
Von Bell had a great year, man.
He had a great
He's
year.
A good player.
Yes.
Those players complement each other very well.
They do. But if you were going to pay one at their expected market price, which one would you rather pay? And if you say Jesse Bates, it's okay to, it's like we're allowed to disagree. I'm just saying for me, and I have a couple of these like pay certain players and not top market players. Von Bell's on that list for me. That I would rather pay Von Bell with the tendency of too high safeties and split cell safeties and interchangeability in your safety group.
There's just not a lot of ball production there.
There's not.
The ball found him a few times this year, mm-hmm. but for the most part, this isn't, I mean, like, he's a lot better playing forward, physical, you know, like, not a do-everything safety.
I think what's...
Which I guess in some ways, Jesse Bates isn't either.
Right. I think you...
They're both good players.
They are, but I feel like one of them's probably going to cost 2X is what it's going to cost to sign the other one.
I know, but don't you feel like you can get the other one, like... The harder one defines Bates, right? The skill set
with the ball production, yes. But it's all, again, I go back to it's more of a Jesse Bates is really valuable in schemes where having a true free single high safety is prevalent in your system. I think as we see more and more split safety coverages where you're not asked to cover the full width of the field on the back end, it makes paying the lesser dynamic back end player more attractive, especially because you want to have the interchangeability to drop down to the box and defend the run.
So how you're phrasing this as you love the idea of paying Von Bell and not Jesse Bates, if you're any team or if you're Cincinnati?
Any team.
Okay. Like in a vacuum. Right.
Now, I understand there's some teams that aren't going to need a Von Bell type player, and I get that. But like Marcus May just signed for 7.5, I think was what he signed for in New Orleans. Right? Like that's the stratosphere I'd put Von in. His average per year on his last contract was 6. Jesse Bates just played on the tag, which was close to 13. And he's probably going to get up over 15 in free agency. So I'd rather pay half the money for Von Bell.
Am I back up?
That's you, number 3 on your list.
All right. And this is, it's hard for me to say, but I would love to see the New England Patriots go get a legit wide receiver through a trade.
Imagine. Imagine putting the Patriots on your list.
Well, they need to. They need to. If I'm trying to be objective and look at the league as a whole and be honest about what teams can do that would really matter, I think the Patriots falling into line with so many other teams that have been very successful trading for a veteran receiver, this should be something high on their list. And what's funny is I originally put down DeAndre Hopkins as the receiver they should trade for, but I don't know about Bill O'Brien being the offensive coordinator and that being, you know, a viable direction, although I think that would make a lot of sense. That would definitely check the box I'm looking for with New England to go get an actual legit number one receiver. I mean, you've made Mac Jones your quarterback. You took him in the first round, and I mean, the receivers just these aren't dudes, man. You haven't given Mac his best opportunity to showcase himself as a passer, whether it's the receivers, whether it's the coaching staff he's been supported with. It's kind of embarrassing. And so I would like to see New England get in this mix of other teams that have went and traded a meaningful draft pick, especially because they don't draft them well, right? Like being honest about what you do and don't do well. I think the New England Patriots should really be that team that is willing to part with some meaningful capital for a legit receiver.
What's more likely? The Patriots trade for a wide receiver or the Patriots trade Mac Jones?
Ooh, I don't think they're going to trade Mac Jones.
We read the Boston Herald report about how bad this was.
Yeah, but I think Bill's going to hold him hostage. I mean, Bill O'Brien as a hire is certainly a step in helping Mac.
Is it, or is it just the only guy in the lexicon of available coaches that in the Bill Belichick hire someone who wasn't a former assistant, your kid, or a former player challenge? I think we're on year 5 in a row in which those are the hires.
Yeah, I mean, I can talk myself into that, but we really think Mac gets traded?
I think me saying that is more indicative of I don't know that they're going to swing for the wide receiver.
Even if they do trade Mac, they still got to get a receiver.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That doesn't change that need. Are we thinking too much about the Raiders opening and just like kind of forcing this?
I think we're connecting dots that don't necessarily exist.
And again, I'm
but you could talk yourself into them for sure.
If you want to get galaxy brain and conspiracy theory, I don't know that Mac Jones getting traded is a realistic outcome. I also don't know that them swinging the bat for a big-time wide receiver, like who else is going
to
be available?
Isn't Jimmy G just going to go to one of these teams? Jimmy G's going to sign with the Patriots
than likely.
And then the other team's going to have Mac Jones, so I think Garoppolo's just going to sign with the Raiders.
What a world we live in.
I like that. I like that more than the trading of Mac Jones.
Oh, I'd rather sign Jimmy G than trade for Mac Jones. Yes, for sure.
Would you rather sign Jimmy G and trade Mac Jones or just have Mac Jones?
Excuse me? You're saying I'm the Patriots and I
sign
Jimmy G?
Would you rather trade Jimmy G or sign Jimmy G and trade Mac Jones or just have Mac Jones?
That's too much logistical work for me.
Yeah, I'll just ride out Mac's rookie deal and not be tied to him if I don't.
I'm already in what, year three? Three?
You're entering year three, yeah.
So I'm
good.
You got
a low-cost quarterback.
I got one more year. I don't have to pick up the fifth-year option. If I want to, I can. It's, just ride it out.
I'll stay with that.
On number three.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star. Or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear-whatever-I-want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature, too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
For me, is involving a quarterback trade. How about the Atlanta Falcons? Pick up the phone, and they just dial in the... Hold on for the bit here. Stand by.
Looking up a zip code here, or an area code.
Either 410, 443, or 667, whichever one connects you to the nearest official in the Baltimore Ravens front office, and you give them all of the draft capital and trade for Lamar Jackson. Here's why I like this for Atlanta, and probably only Atlanta. If you are going to trade for Lamar Jackson... You're going to have to give him a brand new contract. You also need to have an offensive infrastructure that is suitable for his game. I don't think you want to give him a brand new contract and have him walk into a situation where you're going to ask him to do different things. That doesn't mean you can't change your offense over the course of the lifetime of him being there. But in terms of year one success and getting the relationship off to a good start, since it's Valentine's Day, you need a place where the offensive philosophy of the coach, I think, matches what your quarterback's able to do. And Arthur Smith likes to run the ball. You got a unicorn at the tight end position in Kyle Pitts. We got two running backs that can run the football. We've got a pretty good receiver in Drake London, better than any receiver Lamar's had in his time in Baltimore. I just like the fit. Atlanta's looking for a quarterback. I think they want to make a big splash. Lamar in Baltimore feels like it's coming to an end. And so I would love to see that marriage make sense. Joe was making all of the faces that you could make during that entire diatribe. Makes me think he's not on board.
No, I'm all over the place is where I really am. First of all, I love Todd Monken being the new OC in Baltimore. And I'd almost like to see Lamar have a chance to work with Todd, especially with Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. And I feel like that would go well. I'm also thinking a lot about Arthur Blank's recent comments about Desmond Ridder. I want to read them to you here in case you guys have missed them. He said, I love our young quarterback. I know he only played four games, but the trend line during those four games was all good. He didn't throw the ball to the other team, which is a huge factor in winning games.
It's true.
He's not colorblind, so I feel good about where we are, and I think our fans should feel that way, honestly.
What?
Is Marcus Mariota colorblind?
Or is that a joke of like not being able to read defense? Like what is that?
I don't know.
Arthur, that can't be a real quote. Where'd you find
it's
that?
It's a real quote. I'm surprised you guys
have this.
This
is on one of those Instagram, like the fake quote graphics.
Right. Yeah.
Where'd you find this?
That you got this from. Where'd you find this, Joe?
NBC's Pro Football's talk. It's on Atlanta Falcons. It's a legit quote.
Okay, that tracks. We'll allow it.
You guys thought I pulled a... I know what you're talking about. No, I wouldn't do that on purpose on this show, but...
I just don't... I'm just so confused.
Is Marcus... I think we need to know, is Marcus Mariota...
I'm literally Googling that right now.
I'm looking it up too. I don't see anything.
Yeah, all of them are tied back to the quote that Arthur Blank called Marcus Mariota colorblind.
Maybe he is. Maybe it's a joke.
Listen, regardless of whether or not Desmond Ridder is colorblind or not, what is the saying on this show?
Don't let good players prevent you from... Yeah, Ridder doesn't change the...
Change anything.
You shouldn't... Right, Lamar. But I just thought it was an interesting thing to bring up here as we consider the reality of that. But I do love the idea of him in Atlanta. I think that's a good marriage for him. But there's also now this piece of me that wants to see him with Todd Monken. The good news for Lamar Jackson is he won't be with Greg Roman next year, wherever he's playing.
Next year might be the most critical data point in figuring out who exactly Lamar Jackson is and is not as an NFL quarterback since the MVP season. But
can't you already see the tweets? Well, if it doesn't go well, it's only his first year in this type of offense.
It'll be his last year.
You know what I mean?
He'll be playing on the franchise tag.
Oh, if he's back on the tag, yeah, yeah.
I'm disappointed in the journalists of our society for not following up on this. Like, I'm reading all these stories and they put the quote in there, and no one's following up on the he's not colorblind part. I'm extremely disappointed.
Somebody asked Brentley Wiseman.
Well, we can ask him on our meeting here as soon as we're done.
We can.
Yeah. My next one. One thing I love for this offseason is the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, not franchise tagging Orlando Brown Jr. They traded for Orlando Brown Jr. They played him on the tag. He played left tackle for the Chiefs. He was fine. But you're getting into an economic stratosphere with a second franchise tag of Orlando Brown Jr. that I am not comfortable with, that I think with the play of Patrick Mahomes, you can find complementary play, whether that's with a first-round pick, with another pick swap, with a free agent signing. You can go a number of different routes and I think get more bang for your buck than effectively tripling down on Orlando Brown Jr. after trading for him, not giving him a contract extension, playing him on the tag, and now hypothetically playing him on the tag again.
Number four, Joe?
Number four for me. This is not one you're going to expect coming out of my mouth, but here it is. I want to see the Chicago Bears make a run at Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs in free agency.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not my favorite team, so I don't have to, like, cling to all my priors about not paying running backs, but
I don't think that's being intellectually consistent, but okay.
Well, I like it for the Bears. The identity of this football team is the athleticism of Justin Fields and what he's shown as a runner. Complementing that with Barkley or Jacobs gets me very excited because I think it's going to help him really take off as a passer where, okay, I mean, what are you going to do? You got to account for Fields and Barkley in that backfield as runners. And that should create some very favorable looks in the passing game. I think they have a good run blocking offensive line already. And I think we're looking for that to be upgraded. And I think the creativity that they can have in allowing them to really focus on building up the rest of the infrastructure at receiver and O-line around Fields makes me excited. And so I think a 3-year deal, I mean, it's probably going to be pretty expensive, probably $13 million per, something like that. But they have cap space. They have a young quarterback, and I think this would be a great move to help their young quarterback and lean further into their identity as a football team that also makes them more multiple as a football team.
Number four for me, this earned me a Teddy take. I am a Teddy take recipient because of this take. And so I feel like I have to have it on my list. And that is Baker Mayfield to the Arizona Cardinals. I think for a team that is going to be without Kyler Murray for some period of time in 2023, it is a bridge transitional year for them as a team. New GM, new coach here at some point, I would assume. By the end of the week, they'll have a new coach. You're not going to have Kyler. There needs to be somewhat of a level reset for this team. But at the same time, I don't think you want to completely bottom out because you've got the quarterback and you've got a good amount of infrastructure in place. You're going to get some draft capital from trading DeAndre Hopkins. By the way, that's going to be a thing here in just a second. And so I would sign Baker Mayfield if I were the Arizona Cardinals. Give yourself a bridge. And for Baker, it makes a ton of sense. The person that I compare this to is when Mitchell Trubisky left Chicago, went to Buffalo, didn't play at all, but then all of a sudden came out smelling like a rose and was like, hey, Pittsburgh's going to sign him to a contract. Baker's going to play more and probably going to be able to increase his value a little bit. But I think this is a perfect reset for Baker to then be a quality backup, be a good starter if you need him in emergency, if Kyler gets banged up or the recovery takes a little bit longer. And I think he has a great opportunity to rebuild his value in a great market. So that is number four for me.
Follow up there, because I think this is an interesting discussion point, because I like it. I still do. I feel like there's other quarterbacks that also fit into this bucket that I would like for them to Tyler go and Huntley. Do this for Arizona. Yeah, Huntley, Sam Darnold. Is it for you, is it Baker, or is it the idea of a quarterback like this for Arizona to kind of get them through the season?
Oh, yeah. So I understand the question. I wouldn't be like upset if they picked like Tyler Huntley or Sam Darnold. I just think Baker makes sense because I feel like the way that he wants to play is similar enough to the way Kyler plays. That kind of chaotic run around, make plays kind of mindset. Like
not instruction.
I don't get that feeling from Sam Darnold, Joe. The whole, you know, add a great out of structure.
He might want to, but
you know, it's not something I really sign up for. So right. if you can get a quarterback who excels or at least is above average out of structure and that they can thrive in that environment, then I think they're your backup needs to be as close as a reflection to your starter as possible for what you want to do offensively. And I think Baker fits that box. But if it's somebody else, like a Tyler Huntley, I would agree that I would give that the seal of approval.
My number four involves my Miami Dolphins. And I would like the Dolphins to sign a specific quarterback to serve as the backup in the 2023 NFL season. Anybody want to venture a guess?
I know that you think they need to have a good backup quarterback.
Yeah, the track record of your starting quarterback missing a month is not a good one to have a bad backup.
Taylor Heinicke.
Chris?
You want your team to sign as a backup quarterback Sam Darnold.
Two good guesses. Two good guesses. One of them is correct.
Joe snuck in a third guess there.
But I need to.
I weighed on Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit. But ultimately, Taylor Heinicke is the choice that I have for the Dolphins. And the reason being...
Good job, Joe.
The backup quarterbacks the Dolphins have pursued over the last two offseasons in Jacoby Brissett and Teddy Bridgewater are the inverse of skills for your starting quarterback. So when you need to go to the bullpen for a stretch of games, you're either going to try to play the exact same style of offense with a quarterback who is not physically suited to do it, or you are going to have to change everything that made your offensive identity what it is and made it unique and challenging to defend in the first place. So you need a player, in my mind, whose physical skill set more closely mirrors that of Tua. And because of that, Jimmy Garoppolo, while there's a familiarity with Mike McDaniel, is not the one that I'm chomping at the bit, hoping that Miami gets on a $7.5 million per contract. And you can make the argument for Mitchell Trubisky. I know that's a name that's kind of been floated out there. But Taylor Heinicke is the one for me who I think when you try to align the price with the skill set, with the style of play, with what the Dolphins want to do, Heinicke is the one for me that moves the needle the most. And it's obviously not super sexy. You'd love to not have to spend that one. You'd love to not spend $5-7 million on Taylor Heinicke to be back your quarterback. But until Tua Tagovailoa proves he can stay healthy for 17 plus games, you have to be more invested in the backup quarterback position than every other team in the NFL, especially because now you're in a winning window. So you need somebody to get you through a month. And because of that, I think Taylor Heinicke is the right blend of experience, skills, acceptance of his role within an NFL quarterback room. Washington's tried to get rid of him a bunch of times, and he always sticks and then ends up playing and plays well. It's the right mix for me. I want the Dolphins to have Taylor Heinicke as their backup quarterback.
I think that'd be a good move for them. My last one here is...
This is our last chance for overlap, by the way. We haven't had a single one yet.
Okay. I would love to see the Seattle Seahawks not overcommit to Geno Smith.
Overlap. We got it. Yes, Joe. Yes.
I think they should be interested in having him back. He had a good season. But I think the way he played later in the season down the stretch, he's 32 years old. I mean, like, it's pretty unlikely that the first half Geno is the new normal Geno forever, especially because we have a sample size that already tells us that that's not who he is.
Geno's not going to call us back now, Joe. Thanks.
That's fine. That's fine. I can live in that world. My process is good. I just feel like Seattle's heading in a good direction, and they were honest with Russ Wilson and his situation and were willing to move on. And I think they need to take another honest look at their quarterback situation and not put themselves in purgatory, not overcommit here. And I think they can really become one of the better teams in the NFC once again, as long as they don't put themselves in a position where they're held back by Geno. And look, maybe I'll eat my words. I'm willing to acknowledge that. But I think flexibility, especially given their draft capital, where they're picking in this draft, next year's quarterbacks, the free agents that exist, don't put yourself in a spot where you're overcommitted.
Real quick, Chris, if you don't mind that I jump in, because this was my number five too.
I mean, you've done it every time so far, so this would be no different. So please go right ahead.
I have literally never passed you. You have gone second every time.
Well, you've jumped in after what Joe has said every single time. But so this isn't anything new for this show.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
It's no way to treat your internet friends, Chris. For Seattle, I think they are the team best positioned to draft a quarterback of any of the teams drafting in the top 10.
That's a good take.
So if that's the path that they take, even if they have to be a little aggressive to go get their guy, you know, I would support it even in the midst of re-signing Geno and bringing Geno back. Because if Geno Smith ends up being the next Rich Gannon, Rich Gannon's peak was 4 years, which means you'd have 3 years left on the clock. And Geno, as Joe said, is 32. So he's going to be in his mid to late 30s. Within the strike zone of Seattle getting to the end of a hypothetical rookie quarterback contract with a player if they take one in the first round of this year's draft. And Geno's threw half his career touchdown passes in this season and one third of his career yards in this past season. And as Joe said, he faded a little bit down the stretch. So I love Geno. I hope he gets the contract, but I also hope Seattle takes this opportunity to say, hey, we got 5-20 plentiful draft picks at our disposal. They got 2 twos. No, they could play defense with a trade in the top five and still come out smelling like a rose and not have any long-term ill effects on their ability in future years to go out and get a quarterback that gives them a short-term answer and a long-term answer. So I'd love to see them do that. I agree with you, Joe. Chris, the floor is yours.
I am doubling down on the Cardinals, making a move for my number five. We've got AJ Green retiring. We got DeAndre Hopkins more than likely on the move. We need to bring in a wide receiver to help either Baker Mayfield, Tyler Huntley, Kyler Murray to set course for the new version of the Arizona Cardinals. Any guesses?
Veteran player or draft pick?
Veteran player.
Higgins?
Super Bowl champion.
Juju Smith-Schuster
to the Arizona Cardinals, my number five.
Just sign him in free agency.
Just sign him in free agency. Don't trade for him. Just pick this guy up in free agency. You trade DeAndre Hopkins. AJ Green retires. Get Juju. Give him all the field. Just give him the space. There you go. Enjoy Arizona, Juju.
Why are you so firm with a Juju selection? What?
So they're going to need wide receiver help. Mm-hmm. I do not want to acquire a wide receiver at the cost of draft capital. They're not ready yet. But spending a little cash for a wide receiver makes some sense. Is Juju going to command top dollar in the wide receiver market? I don't think so. Right? So this is a perfect
15. Wouldn't you think 15 million?
I'd take the under on that.
15.
I'd take the under on that.
I would take the under on that
as well. Here's the one thing to watch for, Chris. This wide receiver class in free agency sucks. It is awful.
It's Myers and him?
It is awful. So that's just one thing I would be
It's
wary.
Nelson Aguilar, DJ Chark, Marvin Jones, Julio Jones, Byron Pringle, Jacoby Myers, Alan Lazard. Hold on. Maybe I want to pivot. Maybe I want to pivot here. No, I'll stick with Juju. I'll stick with Juju to the Cardinals. I think he gets like 10 or 11 per year for like 3 years.
Tim Patrick signed 3 years, $34 million.
Yeah,
he's going to get more than that, right?
I don't think so.
Box of Built
Bars.
Really? Box of Built Bars.
You set the number, average annual salary, and I'll
I tell lose you every I'm... one of these I make. These contract
Chris, he said 15. Set it at 15.
I'm not. I don't know if I'm.
Joe
I'm
said,
not
set the number.
Go Built Bar on the 15.
You set the number, and then I set the number. No, I don't want that.
What if we did 13 and a half?
Take it. I'll take the over.
Chris?
13 and a half is very specific for me. I'm out. I don't
Chris
want to
is a renowned coward.
14. I'll go 14. 14.
Just go 15 and I'll take the under.
No, 14.
Then I'm not taking the bet, Joe. How does it feel? How does it feel when you try to make a bet with somebody and they just...
Chris is all full of all kinds of sass today for no reason.
Mike Williams got 20 per.
Mike Williams is a better player than Juju by
Mike
a comfortable margin.
Better wide receiver than Juju Smith-Schuster.
You don't think they're comparables for contracts, though?
I do not.
Tell you what, do we have...
Juju played 66% of the snaps this year. Not even on the field. Hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since 2018. We almost got there this year.
Are you acting like Mike Williams is a high snap percentage guy?
I'm just saying that I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to get what you think he's going to get.
Okay, I'm putting it at 14 per.
Yeah, I don't. I'm gonna.
Oh, just... this is fun. SpotTrack has the projected market value. Has anybody looked it up?
What I was literally going to.
What's it?
Okay, that's a tough number. That's right. 14, that's right 6. In line with where we're at. Okay, but hold on. One of the comps that they use is the dumb Christian Kirk contract, and I'm sorry, I throw that out.
Well, Chris,
it didn't look so stupid
Chris,
after the
season. That doesn't help your argument either, because the other three are 15-5, 16-1, and 14-7-5.
What's their names?
Alan
Robinson,
Hunter
Renfro, and Robbie Anderson.
Man, I'm tempted to go 15 just for the box. Take it at 14.
I'll pass. I'll pass.
Are you still in on this for the Arizona Cardinals at 14 or 15?
What's their cap situation look like? I wasn't anticipating it costing this kind of dollar amount. The Cardinals have... Oh, we have $14.6 million in cap space right now without even doing anything. We haven't even done anything and we've got cap room.
This is good fun. Joe, I have no conviction on this, and I feel compelled to take it just so someone has a Built Bar box on the line.
You're going to take the under on 14?
I don't want to, but I would love for Chris to grow some conviction in himself since he's feeling all spicy today.
So here's what I don't understand. I do have conviction. I have conviction in not taking the bet. So
right.
There's just you're just
when
not
you,
the right
when
kind of conviction.
You came out here firing like gangbusters when Joe dropped 15 on the table, and now you're splitting hairs over $1 million.
We can get the Cardinals to like $60 million in cap space without doing a whole lot. So we can make this happen.
Just let
no
him
deal?
Work through it, Joe.
No deal. No, thank
All
you.
Right, no
Absolute
deal.
Coward. Absolute coward.
Wait, didn't we agree to a deal sometime recently? What was
it? We did. We agreed
was
to
you
something
and Kyle?
In Mobile, and I forget what it was.
Oh, no.
I already forget. But it was on one of
the
live
podcast.
Shows.
Yeah, let us know.
What did Kyle and I agree to?
It definitely happened. I witnessed the handshake.
Well, we handshake. We shook hands. I remember
that
part.
Yeah, it was definitely
a
thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Write things
down. I think it was Tank Dell related. It probably was Tank Dell related. We were pretty fired up about it. If I had to guess, I think it was Tank Dell related. Because I think I said he would go... Oh, this was like end of day
right.
two.
I said,
yeah,
Tank Dell's,
I
said
the
155 pound receiver's not going to go on day two, is what I said.
There we go. That's it. We're out of things on the
Kyle
list.
Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, Chris Schubert. Thanks to our friends over at BetOnline for their continued support of the show. We hope you guys have a great rest of day on Tuesday. We will be back and talk with you all again tomorrow. Peace.
Thanks for being here for another episode of the Draft Dudes Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. While you are at it, help the dudes out by leaving a rating and review. Want more? Head over to www.thedraftnetwork.com or follow us at The Draft Network on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Nothing's better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star or a tech nomad working from anywhere. Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are so cozy, you might forget you're wearing them. And they're crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.